Can I say you've been...
Podcast service of Sydney's 103.2. Available on the web at heart1032.com.au.
Welcome officially to the Den.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be back after all this time.
How long ago was it since you did drive on the station? How long ago was that?
Over 3 years now.
3 years.
3 years right. And 3 months.
Wow, that long ago.
Yep.
All right. Now, okay.
Fill us in for those who don't know. Where are you living now? What are you doing?
I live just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I am traveling all over America and Europe and back to Australia occasionally, speaking in churches, small and large, singing, throwing my guitar case out on the sidewalk and busking when I don't get paid enough.
just say churches again?
Yeah.
So, no, just say churches again?
Churches.
There you go. That sounded a little...
I've picked a little bit of the accent. I've also picked up several pounds of fried chicken, too. It's around my waist.
Oh,
well,
congratulations.
I'm glad to be the first to break the news to you that we are now the fattest country in the world. We have beaten America by 1%.
Yes.
26% of Aussies are obese, 25% of Americans.
Yeah, I think they just have the bar set higher for Americans, though.
Perhaps. You said that, not us. All complaints too. But very well. Now, it's been a long time. That really, 3 years is a long time.
It sure is.
And you're very much an Australian person too.
I hope so. My passport says that I am.
You're a real Aussie. And there's a few there's differences in how we relate as Australians and how Americans would relate. And I'm sure it's got you in trouble many times.
Way, way, way too many times.
Yep.
But I think the church that I've been serving, as their assistant pastor kind of, they've got used to me now. But, mm-hmm. But some of the places I visit takes them a while.
Do you wish to share? Can you share?
Yeah, a random one.
Here's one that happened just a couple of weeks ago, because this was a little weird, but I was
a little weird. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah. I was spending some time with Alabaster Box. We're all at a baseball game, and we had several other people in the skybox with us as we were watching this baseball game, and I'd not met Nara and Brett's new child, Max, and I'm bouncing Max up on my knee and getting to know the little bub, and I looked at him and said, you know, Max, if you start talking in an American accent, I'm going to come kidnap you from your parents and I'm going to indoctrinate you in the correct way to speak. And Nara kind of yelled out from across the room, I don't care how he sounds as long as he calls me mum. Well, the person standing next to me turned around and said, I don't care who you are or who you think you are, but how dare you? How dare you threaten to kidnap this child? Okay.
Wow. Look, have you at least introduced the Aussie-style barbecue to some of your US buddies?
We have. Our family have been hosting the annual Australian Memorial Day barbecue.
Good.
We get the sausages, we get the chops out.
Good.
We make sure we even played a game of cricket 1 year.
Oh, good.
So we are slowly indoctrinating the Americans to the Australian way of life, and we have several people addicted to things like Tim Tams and Violet Crumbles, and dare I say it, we've actually got some of our friends addicted to Kath and Kim, but don't tell anybody.
Wow. Look, that is where surely you would have heard of redeemable damn points, because they're internationally renowned. I'm going to give you some for that work for Australia.
Thank you very much.
Don't ask any questions. You know what damn points are.
Yeah, look, they can't do much for you. So,
so I can't use them like to upgrade myself to business class or anything?
No. No.
Actually, we can knock some money off a flight, can't they?
It can save $100 off a flight.
But you need a fair more. He's too stingy with him. You need how many points? About
100. You need 100. Yeah. And I've just given you 2.
So
2.
98 to go.
So I can get $2 off my flight today?
No, you need 100.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, man.
Mike Rayson, joining us in the studio. You're going to play for us soon?
Yeah, why not?
Hopefully. All right. We'll do some things we have to do. We'll come back and chat to you.
No worries.
Now, Mike, it's a tradition. Is it, Dan? I think so.
Oh, it is a tradition.
When an artist...
A must.
An artist comes into the studio. We choose to perform with them.
Ooh, ah.
Yeah.
Ooh, ah.
They choose to have us perform.
Can I take you on the road with me?
Yep.
Great.
Yep, we're available.
I'd play this like none other.
Man, that's an instrument like none other. You know, on my second album, we used the kazoo.
Did you really?
Yeah, and we don't talk about that album anymore.
Wow. That's good.
It's been relegated to coaster status. Wow. It's perfect to put your cup of coffee on.
Dan, bringing back the kazoo. What are we going to play? What would you like us to play?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was walking through the Nashville airport on my way out to America the other day. Mm-hmm. And Nashville is my closest town, and I fly in and out of the airport a lot. But I'd never seen this before. On the wall in the airport is a portable defibrillator machine. You know, if someone has a heart attack, you need to have the electronic paddles to shock them back. Well, I looked at the little brass plaque on the wall next to it, and it said, "This machine is donated for the use of your for the use by your achy breaky heart by Billy Ray."
Yeah, man, that's brilliant!
Oh, wow,
it so suits him to donate that. What a generous gesture, of course.
Absolutely,
but, so
you're, for your achy breaky heart,
suggesting we go a little country.
I reckon, considering you know I'm living in Nashville these days.
Okay.
All right. Let's get the let's get the backing here. We need the rhythm.
Okay, we're in the key of G flat minor sharp seventh.
That's good. Okay. It's not working for me. There you are.
I think I'm going to rethink this idea of taking you guys on the road as the support act.
Oh, I'm pretty bad.
There we go.
Yeah.
Who's going to sing? You or
you?
Oh, me.
You're up.
Okay. Oh, don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, I might just strike. I can't remember the words. Hey, if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, I might just drive a pitchfork in my brain.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Fill in.
Oh, fill in.
And stop.
We should podcast that?
Absolutely. Just man, quietly? I think that'll go viral.
I think you're right. You've been Rick Astley'd and now you've been Aaron, Dan and Mike'd.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you want to play a song for real for us?
I'd love to.
Just
please.
To redeem our miserable effort.
I thought Prince Caspian is out at the moment. And it's I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I got to see it
very
before
good.
Anyone else did.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we won't talk about that. But when I recorded the album last year, I wanted to include a song about the Narnia Chronicles because I grew up on the Narnia Chronicles. I still read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe once or twice a year and still learn more from that book every time I read it. So I'm going to sing the song that I wrote in honor of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Good.
That's okay. The song's called Never Alone. Here we go. Now, you're not going to play the kazoo, are you?
No, kazoo's down.
Oh, good.
We're stopping now.
Casio's off.
It's
excellent.
Off.
Excellent.
I used to cry in the darkness. I lived with the monster of fear. Deep under my bed, she lifted her head and whispered to me she was near. So I'd turn on the light in the dead of the night, and my body would tremble and sway. For I feared that the whispering Narnia queen would someday come steal me away. She would someday come steal me away. So I cried out to Aslan, great lion of Judah, O friend, to the friendless I'm here. And your roar of reply by surprise as it bellowed right into my ear. For the magic that held you was broken in two, and the queen of the land is long gone. And now I am never alone. With you I am never alone. Sweet stories of Pevensey children still wander about in my soul. As I grow older and think that I'm wise, the man inside takes control. For I somewhat agree when the Edmund in me says the door to the wardrobe is closed. But Lucy and Peter and Susan cry out, there's more to the wardrobe than clothes. There is more to this wardrobe than clothes. So I cry out to Aslan, great lion of Judah, a friend, to the friendless I'm here. And your roar of reply catches me by surprise as it bellows right into my ear. For the magic that held you is broken in of the land is long gone. And now I am never alone. With you I am never alone. Hallelujah. The lion is living this day. To the friendless I'm here, and your right hand of grace touches me on the face, and your perfect love drives out my fear. For the magic that held you for 3 days and nights is forever defeated and gone. And now I am never alone. With you I am never alone. With you I am never alone.
Wow.
That
wow.
is awesome, man. That Ooh. Is so good.
Never Alone by Mr. Mike Rayson.
The acoustic version.
Yes.
The unplugged version.
We'll chat more in a sec.
Cool.
Some more things we have to do. Mike Rayson joining us in the den.
That's
on
right.
Cities 1032.
Morning.
Now, Mike,
Morning.
It's 3 years. It's been 3 years since you were here.
3 years, 3 months, 7 days, and 14 minutes. No, I just made that up.
Oh, I was quietly impressed. I thought it was very good.
It's been an unusual journey for you, though. Seriously, you've had so many great, amazing, unbelievable things happen.
Yep.
But you've had, by anyone's definition, absolute awful, dreadful, the worst.
Yes.
As well. And I mean, you don't have to go into it at all if you don't want to. But obviously, the terrible and accidental death of your son.
Yes. Just over a year ago.
Just, I mean, anyone's definition after that. But then also, the attack on your other son with the dogs.
Yeah, Oliver was almost killed just 2 months ago after being attacked by two German shepherds in the driveway of our home and literally left for dead. Had our neighbour wow. not come home, our landlord not come home when she did, he'd also be dead now. He lost a lot of blood, had mm-hmm. 31 separate injuries that had wow. had to be stitched up and treated up. The doctors said that he would lose the use of his right arm.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't.
Good.
Oh, wow. Which we're just, man, so thankful over. He's got a little stiffness and soreness, but basically the dog opened up all of the muscle and tissue underneath his armpit.
Man.
Went almost to the bone in the leg, mm-hmm. and he has scarring from his neck to his ankles. Thankfully nothing on the face, but all over yep. the body is ugly, purple, horrible-looking scars.
Wow.
As I said, and 31 injuries, that was just the injuries that they had to sew up or stitch up or tape up.
Mm.
You know, there were scrapes, bruises, and the bruising went all the way to the bone to on about 60% of his body.
Wow.
So he was a sick little boy for several weeks.
After all of that, it would have been fair, I think very fair of you to just say, stuff all of this. And I'm sure you did say this many times. I quit. I give up. I don't care anymore. Let's just go back to Australia or whatever. What stopped you from doing that?
Well, let me tell you, I've learned two things after the death of Sam. And Sam mm-hmm. died on the 14th of May last year. For those that don't know, he was in a farm accident with a mm-hmm. with a horse. He was kicked by a horse in the center of the chest. And mm-hmm. he was dead within seconds. He was 11 years old when he died. But 6 weeks before that occurred, I had the pleasure of kneeling with him at the front of our church
mm-hmm.
As he prayed himself and said yes to Jesus in his life.
Wow.
Yep.
And there's no greater thing to hear as a parent than your child, after they pray, to turn and look at you and say, Dad, I love Jesus too, which is what Sam said.
Mm.
But I've learned two really important things I want to share with you. The first is this. We have this weird idea sometimes that the presence of evil, and I think Sam's death is the presence of evil. It's evil trying to pull the kingdom down and shadow what's going on. The presence of evil, we have this weird idea that it can change who God is and how God feels about us. Let me explain what I mean. You know, we ask why questions when tragedy hits us, and why questions are okay questions to ask. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you can't ask God why. I have thousands of why questions. Hardly any of them are answered.
Mm-hmm.
And on the day they will be answered, I'm not going to care anymore. But sometimes our why questions go deeper and they become statements that begin with the words, if you loved me, God.
Yeah.
If you loved me, God, this wouldn't have happened. If you loved me, God, you would have quietened the horse. If you loved me, God, my wife or my husband wouldn't have walked out on me.
Mm.
And when we start throwing those accusations around, what we're saying is you don't love me anymore. But I have learned that evil cannot, will not, does not, shall not change the heart of God. You see, when God created, he stood back and said, man, this is good. This is my best work yet.
Yep.
And God's attitude and love towards us doesn't change just because evil tries to pull the kingdom down.
Mm.
But you know, the other thing I learned too, to answer your question directly, is that if evil can't change how God feels about me, then evil cannot take away the call that God placed on mine and Amy's and Laura and Oliver and Sam's life.
Yeah.
And that was several years ago to pack up, give everything away and move to America and be missionaries within the context of the local church. And you know, when I was back in Australia last year, when we were back here to bury Sam mm-hmm. in June last year, I got a phone call from one of the larger churches in Australia. Who invited me to come on staff as their pastor. And I thought, hot diggity dog, this is the job I've always waited for. Great, let's go, let's do it. You know, a couple of thousand people in worship on Sunday morning, a pulpit in a city that's quite prominent and well-known. When they first called me, I told them no, because I wanted them to think I was spiritual. I told them, go away and let me pray about it. But they kept coming back to me and called me five times, and on the fifth time I had my absolute answer. And the answer at that point was absolutely not. Because if evil can't change the way God feels about me, then evil can't take away the call that God gave to myself and to Amy yeah. and to our kids to be in America and to do what we do. And it really was one of the hardest things to see Australia disappear in the rearview mirror of the 747, should they have them, as we left to go back to the US and to keep doing what we're doing. But that's where we're called to be. And I'm not prepared to let evil win for 1 minute.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Now, that's not saying that I'm not angry, because I am. Yep. That's not saying that at times I'm not bitter, because I am. That's not saying that times that I just feel like tearing my hair out and screaming at the top of my lungs at God, and believe me, I do that on a weekly basis.
Mm.
Because, you know, frankly, it's not fair. Our kids are supposed to grow up, go through school, give us grandchildren, choose which nursing home that we spend the rest of our time in, and then the color of the wood that surrounds us as they throw shovelfuls of dirt on the top. That's the role of our children. It's a very simplistic role, of course.
Yep.
But it's not supposed to happen the other way around.
Yeah.
I also officiated at Sam's funeral. So it was like a double dose on that day to be there as Sam's dad, but to also be there as the minister that day.
Wow.
And officiate was pretty difficult. I can't tell you how my heart got ripped out when I placed my hands on Sam's hands, because it was all open. There was we didn't need or didn't have to use a coffin in the state we were in. To place my hands on his very cold hands, and he'd died just 36 hours before we had the funeral, and to say the words ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's the stuff that rips your heart out.
Mm.
But I think it's what I was made to do. And if I hadn't have served Sam and served my family in that way on that day, I don't think I'd ever would have forgiven myself. But, you know, we've discovered that God is in the difficult times as well. A mate of mine was in rehab last year, suffering all sorts of horrible addictions, and I was visiting him. And on one of the visits, I looked at him, and this just dropped into my head, and I said, you know, when we hit rock bottom, if we open our eyes long enough and look around, we discover that the rock at the bottom is God, because God has journeyed deeper than our pain, further than our grief, and knows the journey that we're on. And we walk in what Psalm 23, the funeral psalm, tells us, the valley of the shadow of death. But the rock on which we walk at the bottom of that valley is the very presence of God. And, you know, I have four words from Psalm 23 that are now my life verse. It's what drives me. And I think these four words from Psalm 23 totally encapsulate what it is that Jesus is all about. And that is these four words: thou art with me.
Mm.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, etc., thou art with me. That's the whole gospel wrapped up right there. You know, God, the God that we know and the God that many people that listen know, is the God who says, despite how difficult it gets, despite how rotten and tragic and horrible and downright blur life can get, I promise and I covenant and I will be there in the middle of the most difficult places in your life, and I will never go away. And that promise is repeated right throughout the entire Bible, from the beginning to the end. We hear in Joshua, in the Old Testament, towards the beginning of it all, God is already there saying, fear not, for I'm with you. When Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven, at the very end of his time on earth, he said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age.
Mm.
And that promise is repeated so often. And I'm a person who's discovered that God is more powerful in the dark, dark, deep valleys than, you know, on these things we call mountaintops sometimes.
Mm. Mike, I have to ask, this conclusion that you came to about these two things from God, is that something that you just processed by default, or did you really have to spend some time, say, I need to figure this out, and actually deliberately spend time on that?
No, I had to deliberately spend time on that. I was angry. I still am, in a way, because this is not right. And there's something manifestly 155% wrong with what's going on in my life. And I really had to rediscover that God really did love me in the middle of this, because I felt like I had been abandoned. I'd been thrown on the scrap heap, that my life didn't mean anything anymore. And it was through some friends, some very close and dear friends, through sort of trying to keep some semblance of a devotional life going, that I made these rediscoveries, that God really did still care for me, that God had made that promise that he wouldn't leave me when I was walking through the deepest, darkest parts of my life.
We hope you enjoyed this Sydney's 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit heart1032.com.au.